Widespread showers and storms expected next week. Monday's high 82. Richard Wedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 90 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Welcome into this free-for-all Friday edition of Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are staying cool. Another hot one today. Another 89 degrees on my computer here, Chase. I know it's hot. I was outside earlier. Definitely very hot outside. But hope you guys are ready for the weekend, man. We got a lot of stuff going on. You got the College World Series going on out in Omaha. Alabama will take the field tomorrow. They'll face Oklahoma. So excited about that. And why not get some guests to talk some baseball, right? We definitely aren't the biggest baseball experts, so we're going to get some help talking about it. Lance Cormier will be joining us at 11:15 here in just a few moments, giving us a preview, maybe get a little bit of a recap on what he thought of the Supers against St. John's from this past week. And then at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Adam Lamparello. There's a bunch going on with the whole Texas Tech Soresby drama. Well, we need to get some legal advice from our official representation. So we'll do that at the top of the hour with Mr. Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Then at 12:30, we'll talk a little bit more baseball with none other than Reagan Starner of R&R Cigars. He's definitely a big contributor, big fan over there with baseball. So we'd love to get his thoughts on that team as well. So looking forward to doing all those things. Of course, it's a free-for-all Friday. We can go anywhere and everywhere, which we will look forward to doing today here on the show. You guys can get in on the action. 205-342-9904 is the number to the program. You guys would like to dial us up. Of course, you can always come hang out with us on the streams. We always encourage you guys to do that if you prefer to watch your content, right? You can watch me, watch Chase, hang out in the studio, talk a little bit, talk some sports, kick back, relax, and I'll get you guys ready for the weekend at the Miller's Edge on YouTube, at the Miller's Edge on X, as well as my personal X account now, and the Tide 100.9 Facebook page. All that stuff is completely free. We just ask you guys hit that like button on the way in or on the way out, but preferably on the way in. And of course, if you guys enjoy the content, subscribe as well and give us a follow. That always helps us out as well. Chase, there's a bunch of stuff going on. You got NBA Finals, of course. The World Cup is going on. Chase, did you get a chance to watch any of that? I don't know if we have a whole bunch of soccer fans here on our show, on our platform. I enjoy soccer. I know it's not the most popular sport here, at least in our country compared to a lot of other countries around the world, but it's the World Cup. I mean, this is a big deal, and I know it got kicked off yesterday. Chase, Mexico, I don't think they've won an opening matchup in like, what, 8 appearances or 8 years, whatever it was. And they pulled it off yesterday against South Africa. Now, I will say it was interesting. The guy that scored the first goal for Mexico, which was the first goal of the World Cup, clearly, he looked a little bit different, right? He didn't necessarily look Mexican. Now, Mexicans come in all different shapes, colors, all that stuff. However, some just seemed a little up to me. Even the name, I'll be honest with you, Chase. So I did some research. I realized, man, the brother is Colombian. But, you know, Colombia, they have a lot of people that definitely resemble him. But I was doing some research. I read that he's Colombian, but I guess he became a Mexican citizen. I don't know how long ago, but he's playing for Mexico. And I know he was fired up to get that first goal, but I thought it was a pretty good matchup. I got to watch some of that. Did you get to watch any of that? I know South Korea also played in the evening. I didn't catch that one. Have you been keeping up with the World Cup, Chase?
I have. I love the World Cup. Like 4 years ago, it was so much fun, Christian, just being able to see like Argentina do its thing and you know, Messi get his first ever World Cup. That was pretty cool. But yeah, I watched it. It was nothing like it. That's why I think it's one of the best tournaments in the world, period. If you don't even like soccer, just watch the atmosphere. You know, you had the performances beforehand. You know, you had the excitement of the fans and even the commercials were very entertaining. So, but yeah, it was great. I think the South Korea match was a little overwhelming. There wasn't a lot of offense going on, a lot of like tactical stuff. But I think it opened up when the scoring got up. But I think the Mexico match was probably the game of the day.
It felt like it, at least. And I always urge people, I know we were kind of talking a little bit about baseball not being one of those sports that everybody necessarily enjoys. Soccer is definitely in that category, right? I mean, soccer can, especially if you've never played it, if you've never really gotten into it, it can feel boring if you're new to it. But like you mentioned, the energy, the atmosphere, like, I think that's probably one of the biggest draws for soccer, to be honest. I mean, like, for me, like, I played soccer, so I always enjoyed the sport from playing it. But, like, if you've ever seen, and I've never been to, like, a big professional match like that, especially with the ones overseas. Like, I would love to one day. That's one of my dreams, going to watch one over there and watch, like, a Barcelona or Real Madrid type matchup. But speaking of Messi, Chase, he was actually in Alabama not long ago. Just a few days ago, he played in Auburn Stadium, which is really cool, man. I hope a lot of people got to take advantage of that. I saw a clip that I think was from that game. I know that there's also a matchup in Texas A&M. Looked like the stadium was packed, man. So maybe people are coming around more to soccer. Maybe there's a lot more soccer fans than I'm giving it credit. I know most of the time we talk about soccer, a lot of people always kind of have comments or something like, oh, who watches soccer? Who plays soccer? But hey, man, it's an entertaining sport once you kind of get into it, especially like the excitement of like when it really gets going, right? Like you mentioned, like when the action comes and there's finally that goal, it is. It's fun. It's fun, and the crowd makes it even better. But definitely going to be keeping up with it as that goes on. Finals, of course. I know we talked a little bit about that. Feels like the Knicks, are looking to close things out. We'll see if they can do it, man. Spurs, great teams, a little young. See if they can overcome some of those mistakes. But we got plenty to talk about. So let's do this, Chase. Let's go ahead and hit early timeout because we got Lance Cormier coming up in a few minutes. We'll segue into some baseball talk again. Alabama in the College World Series. First time making that trip since 1999. We'll see what they can do. I'll say this, man. I've been seeing some of these videos they've been posting, some of the content that they've got going on from out there. I like the all whites, man. I'm excited about it. So hopefully they can keep the magic going out in Omaha. But we'll have to talk to Mr. Cormier and get his thoughts on it when we come back. This quick timeout right here on the Miller's Edge. Free for all Friday edition. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC. Quick.
90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 15 days. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Friday edition of The Game, we'll do a free-for-all Friday sponsored by Brian Harden Construction. We'll also have a chance to talk some Alabama baseball with a former sports information director at the University of Alabama. Barry Allen's going to join us as we continue our baseball conversation. We'll talk to Brett Greenberg. We'll set up recruiting for the University of Alabama the upcoming weekend. Brett Beard's going to join us as well. And one more surprise guest as we start at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app. Yes! Roll Tide all the time. This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. The home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
And welcome back into this Free For All Friday. This is the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're now joined by Mr. Lance Cormier, former Alabama baseball player, to give us the latest on Alabama men's baseball, who they are in Omaha, and they get ready to take on Oklahoma tomorrow. First time in the College World Series since 1999. Lance, welcome in. Good Friday to you.
Yeah, happy Friday to you guys, man. Thanks for having me.
Of course. No, thank you for joining, man. Sorry about the delay. I didn't realize, Station, we didn't have your number saved up there. And I was like, whoops, let me get that to you. So that's my apologies. But we'll make sure we're quick. So I know you got to
We're all good, man. I got time now. We're good, man. You take as long as you need.
I appreciate you, brother. Well, Lance, I want to go back real quick. But before we talk some Alabama baseball, I mentioned this last time we had you on the show. And we didn't have enough time to talk about it. But not only, you know, you had a great career. I know you cover the sport. But you got a son who's playing. Who plays at the rival school in town? He plays for Auburn. Now, I know, unfortunately, their trip fell short. They didn't advance. But just tell me a little bit about your son's path, man. Now, he ended up at Auburn. I know, you know, you playing here. Just kind of how that ended up coming to fruition. I know, interestingly enough, you know, my dad is a South Carolina guy. Played their Hall of Captains, but Clemson, their rival school, was my first offer. And I thought for a second I might have had a very similar situation. But I know from experience, I'm pretty sure how you're going to answer this. For my dad, he didn't care that he played at South Carolina. At first, it probably was a little awkward for him, but the fact that they were my first offer and they were interested in me as a player, that was all that he cared about, and he respected that. And if I wanted to go there, he wouldn't have cared. So tell me, you know, you being an Alabama alum, you know, your son playing at Auburn, is it pretty natural to you now? Was it a little bit of an adjustment? How was that for you?
No, it was definitely an adjustment. Like, back when he committed, it was basically 3 years he had been committed. So when you talk about adjustment, it was weird then. Yes, no doubt. I mean, but when the recruiting process started, he was young and it wasn't like he was this massive prospect. But like you could just see some things, right? You could see there was growth that could be had. There was like really good clean mechanics. There was, you know, it, as a baseball guy, you could go, man, I could see projection here. And Auburn just really got on him, you know, really quick. And at that point, it was a different Bama staff. They, you know, knew what was going on. That's one of the things I made sure. I mean, I'm like, look, hey, I called the coaches at Bama. I was like, look, hey, this is what's going down. I want you guys to know. I mean, like Auburn's starting to recruit him. They're starting to recruit him pretty hard. And I know it might not be your time. I'm not giving you an ultimatum, but I just wanted, you know, the guys to know, right? So nothing just came out of the blue. And that staff, I guess decided because he had gone to some Bama camps. I mean, and they knew him. I'd been, you know, part of the broadcasting and all that stuff. They knew who he was, and just had decided, I guess, it wasn't a fit. And so once Auburn started doing that and offering him, it was going like, man, like, that's a dream that you have of your son, right? I mean, I lived 45 minutes from Baton Rouge, and I was the traitor that left LSU, you know, because they didn't recruit me at first. Alabama did, and it was one of those where, like, hey, I want to play in the SEC. Like, that's what LJ had as a dream, too. I want to play in the SEC, and as a father and a parent, you're going, man, whoever wants to pay for my son's school, I'm good, you know, he gets to the point where I'm good to go for that. And yes, it was really weird because, I mean, I'm really close with Auburn's hitting coach who kind of started the process. And he, at one point, he's like, look, man, I'm going to take off my friend hat and put on, like, or take off my coaching hat, put on my friend hat and go, like, if this was reversed and you were recruiting my son to go to Alabama, like, because he was an Auburn football player and baseball player. He's like, I said, well, what'd you come up with? He goes, yeah, it's really weird. And I was like, it is. So, but, man, like, as it started going and seeing him in the uniform and, yes, you know, everybody thinks it's a big deal when I put on an Auburn shirt and all that. And, but, like, man, like, you would do anything for your son. And so to be there to support him, to watch him, you know, live out his dream has been unbelievable for my wife and I, and even my little guy. I mean, my little guy's now, he's like, he still loves Alabama basketball and Alabama football, but man, when it comes to baseball, like, he's all in on his big brother. And, you know, so that's what it's all about. But you're watching him live his dream. And I mean, we believe God has, you know, control of our lives, and he puts us where we need to be. And like, he's in a great spot. And so, yes, it was weird at first, but now, man, like, I think nothing of it. You know, watching him play and do his thing is all that it makes us smile and makes our heart happy.
Absolutely. And I figured that would be the case because I didn't go to Clemson, but I remember when they offered me, at first my dad was like, oh, you know, it is what it is. Look, they want to, you know, pay for your tuition and give you an opportunity to go play football. So I'll put a Clemson shirt on. But granted, maybe he just was saying that because I'm like, if I actually did it, it probably would have been a little bit different. But no, I always think that's cool, man. And you never know, Lance. I mean,
we talk about this whole transfer portal thing nowadays. I mean, maybe he comes back home one day. We'll have to see. You never know, right?
I mean, you obviously never know, right? But I know he is extremely happy, and they have already done a great job of taking care of him for next year. It's good. So everybody's good. I mean, everybody, I'm telling you, things work out like they're supposed to. There's no doubt about it. And, it's going to be fun to just continue to watch his career as he continues to grow, develop, mature, and, hopefully become the pitcher that he dreams of being one day.
Absolutely, man. And speaking of Alabama baseball, talk to me a little bit, Lance, what you thought last week. Supers here in Tuscaloosa, really nice turnout. Rob Bond really was trying to, get the attendance up. I know they did a really good job trying to get fans in the building, and that's exactly what happened. And Alabama did their thing, man. I know St. John's, the team, started off the year, struggling a little bit, but they definitely had a lot of fight to them. And when they got to Tuscaloosa, unfortunately, this, fell short, man. Alabama's baseball team did what they needed to do to advance. What did you make of that Supers for Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, obviously a outstanding crowd, which they had to deal with some, really tough weather situation. And that's the worst part about the timing of the conference tournament, regional, super regionals, is the weather can wreck some things. And so you got to be mentally tough. I mean, I saw the comment that Coach Vaughn made about, what his desire is for the program and how, kind of wanted to mirror those late 90s teams that he said, those dudes would want to fight you before they wanted to beat you on the scoreboard. And then, that's how Coach Wells built the program. And, starting in 95 and the run that we had, 3 out of 4 in Omaha, and the one that wasn't in Omaha was probably a couple inches away. And so, he gave a lot of, some props to those late 90s teams. He's like, I want to build my team like that. And so, weather, all those little external circumstances, it's all about how tough can you be? How can you not let those affect you and continue to just do what you need to do? And Bama did that, man. They've continued to just make the plays, get the hit when it matters most, and, man, have rolled through, 3-0 super regional, 2-0, 3-0 regional, 2-0 super regional, 5-0 now going into Omaha. And so, everybody, when people are in the moment, it's bad showing in the conference tournament. Who remembers the SEC tournament right now if you're an Alabama fan? You don't, because you remember the 5-0 winning streak that they're on right now headed to Omaha. Now, tough draw being on the right side of the bracket, obviously a little SEC tournament with Oklahoma, Texas, and Georgia. But I mean, heck, your goal when you walk onto campus and that first meeting you have, the word Omaha is, I don't know if it's every day, but it was for us when we were in school. I think we even broke it down saying Omaha, which a lot of teams do, and you have Omaha challenges, just the obviously ultimate goal. And so right now, Alabama's there. Doesn't matter who you're playing, doesn't matter what, you're there, and you just got to continue to fight and do what you do. And again, for SEC schools, you're going to expect to have that. So I mean, it's just another thing, right? That's the SEC is about that. You're able to move on because you've gone through 10 weeks of the season like that. You've gone through the conference tournament. You've done all those things. So why not have to play another SEC when it gets to Omaha? You want to beat the best if you want to win it, right?
Absolutely. And let me ask you this, Lance. I mean, you've experienced this. I mean, you played at the highest level. If you had an opportunity to speak to these guys, man, I mean, they have a great opportunity ahead of them. Like you mentioned, it's almost like a second SEC tournament. There's going to be a lot of, some matchups ahead of themselves. What advice would you give to them as they, take the field tomorrow against Oklahoma to kick things off?
Man, and this is really cool in my eyes because we go in 99. And as a freshman, and so I guess let me give my advice. The advice would be, to literally soak it in, soak it all in, but go there with, obviously everybody wants to win, but there's some teams that get to be there. The eyes are a little wider. They're like, man, this is awesome. And it's not business as usual. It has to be. But also there's a fine line that you can be all business, everything, and give your best effort on the field. But as a fan, and like I mentioned, you've been saying the word Omaha. You've got to soak it in. I mean, freshman year, you don't. If somebody's not telling you that, I mean, I just thought we would go back because they had been, in 96, 97. We go in 99. I'm like, well, yeah, we're going to go back. And obviously, as an Alabama fan, you know it's been 27 years. We never went back. And we had teams that, I mean, my senior year, we were number three in the country going into the Super Regional. So everybody fully expected that. And we lose in our own regional. Like, it is hard to make it to Omaha. So I would tell, you know, those guys to, like, yeah, I mean, like, you got to be business. You got to be have one track mind and what you want to do. But, like, there's a way to soak it in, you know, every moment that you're doing and going, like, hey, like, to truly know, like, this is special, and it doesn't happen every year, even though it feels like some teams do, you know, when you look at the Texases, the Florida States, and you look at some of those numbers in, you know, old school Miami, that you're going, like, man, they've been Omaha this year, but, like, you know, a school like Alabama, this is number six. Like, it doesn't happen all the time, even though we want it to. Like, you got to soak those moments up. And so that's what I would just preach to them, because they're going to go out and play ball hard. But you can get lost into playing ball hard and not truly enjoying the moment you're in, because it's such a special place. You know, when you're talking the Mecca of college baseball, everything that you dreamed of as a kid. I mean, I went there as my senior trip, and it was really cool because I was there as my senior trip. And then the next year I was there on the field. So, like, I was behind the net talking to, you know, players, and the next year I'm on the other side of the net talking to fans in the stands. So, like, that was just really cool. And if you don't soak that up, man, those are the things that you wish you would have done when you get older.
You're 100% right, man. Like, when I think back of even, like, those playoff runs that we had, or the championship games, like, man, like, it's nice to be able to embrace those moments. And luckily, hell, the first time we went, I was a little redshirt freshman playing some special teams. So I made sure I soaked up that whole experience that I was out there. Then I remember the last game I played it, man, unfortunately I was hurt, so I guess I really did soak that one up too, just having to watch it. Right. It was one fun. We got beat down by Clemson, so that one, I kind of put that one behind me. I remember the other ones a little bit better. But Lance, I know you got to run, man, but thank you so much for jumping on and previewing a little bit. We'll definitely be watching tomorrow, and tell me, you got any calls coming up that we can listen to you on?
No, man, actually, that, you know, Super Regionals ended it. I had that Troy Super Regional, which is really cool. So I'm excited to see kind of what they do as they kick off Omaha, just another team obviously representing the state of Alabama, but the Sun Belt, and just, you know, the underdog story, which they don't want to hear that. You know, they're one of those teams that feel like they belong. And so really cool to be able to do that. But, man, I'm off into, like, the Little League Regionals. So I feel it's going to slow down a little bit, and obviously wish I could be there as a fan, you know, watching everything that's going down. If LJ and them would have made it, we obviously would have been there as well. But right now it's going to be a little bit slower, little catch your breath type of moment until Little League Regionals, like in August. So, yeah, nice. Just enjoy the boys in Omaha. They got some great crews working it, and it's going to be fun. Man, college baseball's in as good a spot as it's ever been, and it's continuing to grow. And obviously ESPN has helped that a lot with just the TV coverage, you know, the app, all the, I mean, if you're an SEC fan, you can watch every single, you know, baseball game that your school plays, which is so cool, on TV, on your phone or iPads. Like, that's what it's all about, man. Like, stuff that we can obviously do when we were growing up, man. So to be that moment as a kid right now, to be able to see everything that you can imagine and your favorite players and favorite schools, you know, who you look up to, really cool. So, I mean, ESPN's great, and it's going to be unbelievable coverage throughout all of the College World Series. So looking forward to it.
Absolutely. We'll definitely be tuned in, cheering for our guys, and hopefully we got some good stuff to talk about. Definitely, you're our new baseball expert, Lance. I hope you don't mind that. So anything baseball, no. we're reaching out to you, man. You got us covered. Listen, I watch it a good bit now, but I'm still not the expert here, so we're relying on you. So, well, you got that new title, Lance.
Expert.
You
can add
it to your LinkedIn.
Expert, I don't know, but, man, I'm happy to talk baseball. Obviously, I love the game, and so anytime somebody wants to talk ball, man, let's set up shop.
Absolutely, man. We'll definitely do it more often. Lance, we appreciate you, brother, for taking the time to join us, man.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good one.
Yes, sir. You too, brother. Good deal. Lance Cormier, former Alabama pitcher, again, father of LJ Cormier, who's pitching at Auburn. Really good stuff, man. Awesome to have him join us. We always appreciate him taking the time to do so. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep rolling right here on this free-for-all Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers.
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers.
Who are resilient.
And won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches.
Athletic trainers and mentors.
Who are shaping the next generation.
900-9000. That's 900-9000 for a free consultation. No fees unless we win. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than that of other lawyers.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law, Education, and Advocacy. Founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless...
6829. That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
Your front row seat to all things Alabama.
Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Big thanks to Lance Cormier for joining us, talking some Alabama baseball. Again, those guys will take the field. I said kickoff, Chase. I'm so used to football. It's just ingrained in me, man. I say kickoff for everything. If it's basketball, what time do they kick off? If it's baseball, what time do they kick off? Softball, what time do they kick off? I apologize, folks. But big thanks to Lance for joining us, talking some baseball as they get ready to take on Oklahoma again. Like Lance mentioned, first time since 1999 that they'll have the trip to Omaha. Hopefully those guys embrace the moment. It looks like they are, Chase. I know the social media team for baseball has been posting some content. They've had some media stuff they've done out there. Looks like they're enjoying themselves, man, as they should, man. They've earned it. So hopefully they can continue all the great things that they're doing right now. Chase, I want to ask you, because we just played during that break, that little snippet of the whole Texas Tech. I called it like the, I don't even remember the term I just used, man. We're not going to make it through 22 minutes of that video. I mean, it's a pity party. That's what I called it. The Texas Tech pity party. Have you had a chance to watch that whole video, or are you just hearing the snippets I just was playing? I mean, where are you at with that video, Chase? Have you listened to it?
Man, I have listened, not the full 22, but I listened to clips of it throughout the morning and afternoon, and it was just, it was hard to watch, I'll say that.
Yeah, it just sounded like, granted, I shouldn't judge it based off of 2 minutes of listening, but they started with the president, and we just heard what he had to say. And again, I apologize if we're beating a dead horse with this whole Sorsby situation, but this stuff just keeps coming out, and it's just hard to really wrap my head around. Well, where'd that video just go? We just had it pulled up. Well, the president, Chase, I mean, it's like going over everybody's head, or maybe it's not. Maybe these people, it seems like some cult thing they got going on. They seem very convicted in this whole deal, that this is all about, we're there for our players and helping the individual. And I think what's going over their head is, guys, you can do that by helping them out, like with where he needs help, right? Addressing those needs. But him playing football in college is like, they're making it seem like that's the ultimate medicine that this young man needs, as if he can't just pursue football professionally. Like he was eligible for the supplemental draft. I mean, if you're really worried about him being in okay shape, y'all got all that money. Number one, first and foremost, get him the actual help, the rehab, all the resources that he needs to address that issue. Boom. Give him the $5 million. Because that serves as like a signing bonus, as being almost like a second round pick. Go on the supplemental draft or whatever the case may be, and just go play professional. Am I missing something, Chase? Like, it's clear as day. This is really for their benefit. That's just what's like. They can talk about how much it means to help this young man. They can cry me a river on that one, man. You can help the young man, but that don't mean you have to sit there and make and force his way into being eligible so he can help your football team that you're trying to have success with.
Am I wrong in saying this, Chase? Am I being harsh here? Like I said, and we've said, me and you both agree on this. We are very respectful of mental health. Like, I mean, trust, I'll be one of the biggest advocates. One of the biggest advocates you can find for that, right? But this just seems like, I mean, like, and they just keep going, man. They just keep digging it deeper. First, we talked about Cody Campbell yesterday on OutKick and that whole deal, trying to bring up Georgia, trying to bring up the Sandusky situation. You know what I mean? Like, he's going far, far and beyond to defend themselves. And now the 22-minute video, Chase. I mean, is it even worth watching the rest of it, man? That was just the president. So we just, for our radio listeners, we listened to this snippet briefly, which I don't know why. Where's the rest of it? There it is. Let's play a little bit more of it. So we'll start from where we just left off. So the president just spoke. Let's see who's coming up next. Again, this is, if you guys are just tuning in, this is Texas Tech's president, athletic director, head coach, I think director of like health, not health and wellness, but something along those lines, as I think that other guy was. And I'm missing one other person. Can't remember that anyway. It's like five guys sitting at a table recording themselves, basically explaining what they're doing. It's kind of, is this like a weird video to you, Chase? Don't you think like a press conference would have just been a little bit more? Well, I guess they didn't want to field questions. I don't know. Does this just feel weird to you?
I think the reason they did that is they wanted you to feel at home. They wanted you to be a part of it. I think it's like a psychological thing. I learned that in college. They want you to feel as if you're family and that you're able to empathize and sympathize with Brennan's situation and what Texas Tech is going through, you know, because if it would have been a press conference, it would have been deemed rude. They just look at him as, you know, a football player, scratch the mental health, you know, kind of that like quick answer question type of scenario. You know, you only get a few words. They wanted you to feel as if they welcomed you in their establishment, take a seat, you know, and you're a part of this and you kind of, you see what's going on. But it failed miserably. The head coach had talked earlier, not earlier, but I saw it earlier because I was clipping it up for another show. It was pathetic. It was just straight up pathetic. To bring in his parents.
Physically brought them in or just?
No. Like bringing them up, like.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant they literally get to a point in this damn video we're watching where they go, now we're going to be joined by the source piece. And then they just like walk. Because I'm not going to lie, this guy's voice is a little creepy to me anyway. And just and he welcomes it in there. They just walk in. It just seems weird, man. This whole, I want to see who comes next. Let's see who follows up the president. So anyway, this is what the video we're watching. This is who's next. Let's see.
And when you look at that, Texas Tech is uniquely positioned, too, when you look at our Center for Study of Addiction Recovery, some things we've done for other students that maybe doesn't get this kind of publicity that this story has gotten.
That's right. We have a Center for Addiction Recovery. It's been a national model for other universities who have established similar centers and institutions. So this is not something we've just started to do. It's part of our legacy and our traditions. And I think it speaks to the sincerity of our actions in this matter. We're doing this for Brendan, but we do this for all students.
Again, this is all great, man, in terms of helping him out. But what's flying over all these gentlemen's head that are sitting at this dumb table right now recording themselves like they're doing a podcast is the fact that you can do all that without forcing him back on the football field after he was ruled ineligible. Like, are they just missing? Like, this just reminds me of the Cody Campbell thing from yesterday, Chase. These guys can't be this dumb, man. Like, and I think they're really making themselves look so much like at some point, man, just shut up and just go to court or do whatever you need to do legally and just go about your business, man. Like, this just made it even worse. I think they thought, what's the reactions to this? Have you seen the reactions to this, Chase? Like, what are people's responses?
They're eating it up, Christian. They're eating it up. One I saw on Twitter, I think it was Twitter or Instagram, and they were comparing this to, like, and Pastor Payne, I'm sorry. But you know when they're like, when they're done with the sermon and they bring up the offering plate and they're like, you know, you can give a little bit more, right? Or, you know, we have our building fund and, you know, it's just that like, that Cry Me a River violin, like you got to give all the tithes. And that's what it's giving. It's giving like, they're at their last leg right now And they need all of people's support, like sympathy, money, understanding. Hence why they brought everybody. They brought the associate AD. They brought the head coach, the president of Texas Tech. Like, they're at a very, very critical time in their program right now. Hence why they're pulling all the stops. And that's why I said it's like a psychological tactic to get people to feel what they're feeling, like they're the ones who, because where is Brendan at? I don't understand it. If Brendan, I understand he doesn't want the limelight, but I would love to hear his side. I'd love to hear, for, I know a lot of people who struggle with gambling. So it would probably mean a lot if people could hear it from his side, what he deals with, you know, what he was going through, maybe, you know, talk about what helped him come forward. Maybe if he's being supporting, like a charity or something towards that. That would have been nice. I don't want to see five billionaires talking about a situation that they benefit off of.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. And listen, you bring up a really great idea. Like, if it is, I hate saying if it is, right? We're just going to take it for what it is, right? If he's dealing with something to that extent, use it as a positive. And you're 100% right. He should be able to support some type of organization or promote something to get other people to maybe turn for help if they're dealing with something similar. I agree. Now, granted, right now it's a little hot, right? Not just outside, but in this whole situation with him, he probably don't want to step in front of a press conference anytime soon. But yeah, that video is weird, man. I'm sorry. It's just weird. And then it looks like TCU came out and trolled them a little bit. They posted like a little meme of a text thread saying, "I ain't watching all that. I'm happy for you, though. Or sorry that happened." Being childish, that was funny. It's got like 30,000 favorites. I mean, I guess that's really all you can do at this point. But yeah, whoever is in charge over there, Chase, they messed up, man. This is probably the worst campaign I've ever seen. Like, it's the worst media campaign I've ever seen, honestly. It just keeps getting worse. I don't know what's going to come out this weekend. Probably something else, but they probably should just put their phones down, put the cameras down. I mean, it's literally, they basically filmed a podcast episode explaining. This is funny, man. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling right here on this Free For All Friday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case in this. I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming
up on the Friday edition of the game. We'll do a free-for-all Friday sponsored by Brian Harden Construction. We'll also have a chance to talk some Alabama baseball with a former sports information director at the University of Alabama. Barry Allen's going to join us as we continue our baseball conversation. We'll talk to Brett Greenberg. We'll set up recruiting for the University of Alabama the upcoming weekend. Brett Beard's going to join us as well. And one more surprise guest as we start at 2 p.m. on the game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. We're going to mention an afternoon shower or storm, but I think they're going to be few and far between here this afternoon. Sunny, warm, and sticky, 93, 75 tonight, an early shower or storm, partly cloudy. Better chance of rain and thunderstorms tomorrow and again on Sunday. Saturday's high 93, Sunday's high 91. Widespread showers and storms expected next week. Monday's high 82. Richard Wedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 90 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From kickoff to the final whistle, we've got you covered. Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. We're still just during the break, just kind of listening to this 22-minute long video. I'll say, Chase, so far, this is their athletic director speaking. The way he's presenting this thing, it's probably the best out of what we've heard so far, the way he's kind of breaking it down. Still, this sounds just ridiculous, but at least this guy sounds like it's a little bit more put together. I mean, a little bit more believable, maybe. The way he's kind of painting this picture. Regardless, we'll talk some more about this here in a second when Adam joins us here at the top of the hour, since he's our legal expert and he'll be able to break down really all of this and more, especially kind of moving forward, kind of what options are on the table, whether that's NCAA, Sorsby, Texas Tech, all that good stuff. But we got a few minutes, Chase. So there's something that had come up. I think I saw this yesterday from On Three, and I saw that Brooks Austin, the film guy, I think he'll be back on the show here soon. Talked to him last week. But people are getting innovative, Chase. The world is ever so changing, right? And I'll be the first one to tell you. I mean, it's on one end, it's like kind of cool seeing all this new stuff, new technology. On the other end, it's kind of like, oh, man, this is a little interesting here. Well, looks like Southern Cal, man, they're starting something new, at least to my knowledge. They're promoting a young man by the name of Connor McQuiston to be their director of AI. Yeah, you heard that right. AI, artificial intelligence. So he's going to build AI models using program data to identify competitive advantages in everything from game planning to scouting. So the reason I bring this up, Chase, is, I mean, as this world has changed ever so quickly, man, you know, football already went from, it used to be whiteboards, chalkboards, X's and O's. Hell, when I was in high school, and it wasn't even that long ago, we used to watch film on a film projector and, you know, a little room kind of off, you know, off put from our weight room, you know what I mean? Like, you know, then it turns into, you know, the nice systems in college. Like, you know what I mean? There, it just changes, right? Technology's been growing. And then it turned into a bunch of analytics, right? Over the last decade or probably about over the last 15 years or so, analytics have become a big thing, right? Which we've seen that's even come into play when it comes to coaches making decisions in critical moments, right? I mean, analytics have really been driving a lot, especially in this sport, not just football, but really all sports. But now, as we should have known, which I'll be honest, I mean, I invest a lot. I mean, technology, you know, AI stocks have been the big hit as of recent, right? They've definitely kind of fluctuated. Some people getting a little bit scared of them. But anyway, It's making its way to football, Chase. They've got directors of AI. What do you think about this? I mean, I'll be the first one to tell you, AI is ever so helpful. I mean, the little graphics I've been able to put up when we have our guests on the phone lines, right, since we're doing a live show, I used to sit there and go on Canva and be so proud of myself, using, you know, a little template and spruce it up a little bit. You know what I do now, Chase? In 30 seconds, as we get our guests ready to go, I go to ChatGPT. I take a photo. For example, we just had our guy Lance Cormier on the show. Got a nice, you know, snapshot of Lance in his MLB uniform, right? One of his headshots. Throw it on a ChatGPT. I say, make a nice graphic for my guy Lance. Say, on the line with the Miller's Edge, former Alabama pitcher. Boom. 30 seconds is done. Throw it up on the stream. And it, I mean, it looks professional grade. And I'm telling you, man, that's AI for you, right? Spanish. You guys hear me talk about like speaking Spanish and all that all the time? Dude, I went from like speaking with people. You know, I practice with AI half the time now. It's just easier. Just pull up ChatGPT. You got the voice function. It's like Siri. I literally just tell it to give me a prompt as if I'm in school. Quiz me on something. I have to explain it in Spanish. So I understand completely the benefits of AI. But in the football world, Chase, I mean, how do you see this taking effect? I mean, to my knowledge, this is maybe the first of its kind. I haven't heard of this, somebody being a director of AI. If I had to guess, it's probably building off the whole analytics thing, because that's kind of what it sounds like, you know, building models, using data to identify competitive advantages. So maybe it's just an extension to the analytics that we've seen in football. You have any thoughts on this, Chase? Is it kind of throw you off a little bit, or do you think it's cool? Do you think it's going to be a huge competitive advantage for Lincoln Riley and Southern Cal? You think other teams jump on the bandwagon maybe after seeing AI be instrumental in their success potentially?
Hindsight, I do agree with you. It definitely brings a different side to football, you know, especially using technology. It's ever so advancing every day. You know, everybody uses AI in their daily routine. You know, it's like you said, like, and that was a cool graphic, by the way. You know, and I understand the troubles of just trying to make a graphic, and it takes forever. But it's like, you know, you can just type in ChatGPT and it'll put what you have, and it's really professional, good.
That looks like somebody from Alabama's social media department made that. I like, and I'm not bragging because I just can't. ChatGPT did that. Now, granted, it did Cormier instead of Cormier initially. Sometimes you got to correct it, but wouldn't you agree, Chase? I mean, isn't that crazy that you could just type a couple sentences, boom, hit enter, and that's what it came up with? I mean, I will say for this young man at USC, it mentions that they'll look for advantages from everything from game plans to scouting. How do we think it'd be used for scouting, maybe? I mean, game plans, I could totally understand, right? Like, I can imagine you could ask it maybe, hey, well, that's kind of crazy. If you're getting paid that much money to coach, I don't know if you should be relying on ChatGPT, or maybe you could just ask situationally, hey, you know, in this situation, what are the odds of this, that, and the third? I feel like it's kind of like the analytics that they've been doing. But for scouting, would you trust AI for scouting? I feel like I'd rather just trust my own eyes, my intuition, you know, working with the kid. What do you think?
I think it's so scary. I think it's going to come to a point, the way we're using so much AI, why would we need coaches? They're literally modeling us. Not like to scare anybody. I'm not like I forgot the word, but at this point, they can literally model how we talk, how we view things, how we like every aspect of the human life. Why not just be, you know what? The new AI is a head coach of said community college. Let's just start there, because they're already implementing AI in some of these sports now. So it's not something that like is taboo or it's like scary. It's become the new norm. So I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to be surprised. By the time I'm no longer here, AI is going to be a head coach of some program, some little league, some peewee. I'm telling you. They're going to be yelling at a computer on the sideline. I'm telling you. Watch.
Dude, I don't doubt it. Hell, there might be some AI refs one day. Hell, why pay the refs, man, to get some robots to just sit out there and just judge the games, throw penalty flags, and I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked. We'll hit a timeout. I'm going to read some more onto this article. When we come back, we got our guy, Mr. Adam Lamparello, Lamparello Law. We've been talking about this Sorsby situation. Love to get Adam's thoughts on where it goes from here, outside of the cheesy podcast episode that Texas Tech just dropped. In that pity party that we just were listening to. We'll hear from Mr. Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law on the other side, right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Monsi Bolaños.
The Carolina Hurricanes are one win away from their first Stanley Cup since 2006 after defeating the Golden Knights 4-2 in Game 5. Canes captain Jordan Staal scored his sixth goal of the Stanley Cup final. Game 6 will be on Sunday. At the FIFA World Cup, out of Group A, South Korea took the lead in the 80th minute and held on to defeat Czechia 2-1, while Mexico shut out South Africa 2-0. USA will be taking on Paraguay on Friday at 9 Eastern, and you can catch all the action on Fox TV. In baseball, Dodgers took down the Pirates 8-6. Shohei Ohtani hit his 13th home run of the season, but left the game in the 7th inning due to left knee inflammation. Manager Dave Roberts said that his level of concern with Ohtani is not high and that he could return to the lineup on Friday against the White Sox. And in the NFL, Panthers and wide receiver Jalen Coker agreed to terms on a 3-year extension worth $35
million. Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
We'll be right back.
free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're now joined by our official legal representation here on the show, Mr. Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Of course, you can find all their information on lamparello-law.com. Any type of criminal defense matters, academic misconduct, NIL cases, they've got you covered. They're very affordable. They'll beat out the competitors. They'll do it in relentless fashion, first-class manner. And, of course, other services as well for high school, college, graduate students, whether that's academic and career planning, subject matter mastery, you name it, they've got you covered right there at Lamparello Law. Education advocacy on their website, lamparello-law.com, for all contact info. And you can schedule a consultation or just join us here on the show and you can catch Mr. Lamparello yourself right here hanging out with us on the stream like he is right now. Adam, good Friday to you.
Hey, how you doing, Christian? Thanks for having me on.
Great, man. Great. Can't complain. I'm excited about this because we've been talking so much about Texas Tech, Soresby, all this stuff. But you're the expert. So we gotta lean on somebody who actually knows about this stuff because we clearly don't. Adam, I just was talking with you. You know, we've watched now probably about, I don't know, a quarter into this 22-minute pity party from Texas Tech's officials, president, athletic director, coach, various other individuals. But give us your overview of this whole situation, right? Because the rundown is he was deemed ineligible by the NCAA. He went to a local court, got the injunction like everybody else we've seen, whether it's, you know, Chambliss or Tennessee court. I mean, all these people that have been trying to fight for eligibility shocked a lot of people because this case was a lot different, even though Texas Tech believes, it wasn't a DUI. It wasn't a Penn State situation. It wasn't, a violent act, which, you know, in the outside world, right? I mean, they're not wrong, right? I mean, I'd say gambling's probably not the most heinous thing out there. And I would probably rank it well below a lot of those things. But when it comes to the sports world and its potential or its true effects on the sport itself, much different situation. What do you just make of this in that decision with that being such a, I mean, it's clearly unprecedented, right? I think we can agree on that. I mean, how do you think this decision could potentially change things moving forward now that we've seen a player basically, and I get it from the mental health stuff, I totally respect all that and I'm an advocate for that. But, you know, when you still make those decisions, there should be some type of consequences. How do you see this affecting the sports world as we know it?
Well, there's two aspects to it. There's the legal aspect, and then there's the administrative aspect, what Texas Tech did. Regarding the legal aspect, to get an injunction against a party or an organization, you have to show two things. You have to show that without the injunction, you would suffer irreparable harm. And number two, you have to show that you are substantially likely to succeed on the merits of the underlying case, which Soresby was not. He did not meet either prong. He did not suffer any irreparable harm because a suspension does not derail his career. It does not cause reputational harm. It does not stop him from trying to pursue a professional career. Second, he was not likely to succeed on the underlying merits of the case because he had no case. This injunction was a terrible decision that set a terrible precedent in two ways. First, it's going to encourage other people who do bad things to try to avoid accountability by using the legal process to do it. Second, it shows you that there are some really bad judges out there, bad judges who set a precedent that is not good for the sport or the individual. And it's a reflection of a broader decline in the cultural values of our society. 15, 20 years ago, you didn't see players trying to escape accountability through the legal process and lawyers jumping at the chance to represent them and judges condoning it. So I think it's a terrible precedent and a bad decision. As far as the administrative side, you know, people think academics are smart. No. People think administrators are smart. No, most of them have no common sense. I've been in that world for 15 years, and they don't see the forest for the trees. This man gambled $90,000, including on his own team. He didn't have a mental illness. He wasn't the victim of a disease, okay? He wasn't struggling with addiction that stopped him from making rational choices. I fully support rehabilitative efforts and supporting him to overcome this, but there has to be consequences. If there's no consequences, what does that say to every young person out there? Hey, go to the casino and they'll treat you like royalty. You know what? Have an addiction and there'll be no consequences. It's bad for these kids because it doesn't teach them the lessons they need. Accountability, responsibility, making the right choices, even though you really don't want to, that's going to make them successful in life. So it's terrible on both fronts.
Adam, I know you touched on it before we came back because it was one of my questions I really have been waiting to ask you, but these injunctions, it seems like they pop up all over the place now, and maybe it's because I'm naive to the legal world, at least now. Or now I'm not, now that we've got you in our back pocket. We're learning everything from you. But before, Adam, before the last couple of years with the transfer portal and all these cases regarding that, I had hardly ever heard of any injunctions, whether that's, I guess, really in sports or outside of them. But my question was to you, and I just want you to kind of reiterate this for our radio listeners that didn't get to hear it. Where do these things just kind of come up from? Like, and was it something that, say, 10 years ago, I mean, a student athlete could have used an injunction? Say, like, for example, me 10 years ago, it's 2016, and I'm like, I don't think it's fair that I can't get NIL, or if I can't do whatever, could I have just hired you and sued and try to get an injunction and then said, hey, they're going to, even though it's against NCAA rules, this injunction states I can get paid. I mean, like, where did this come from?
Yeah, you could have hired me at a very low price.
exactly, the low price that you charge, that's right.
But here's the thing. An injunction is basically a court order telling another party to do something or to not do something. Okay, so injunctions are typically for things like, let's say I have an employee who works for my company, Coca-Cola, and the employee quits and takes Coca-Cola's trade secrets, their secret recipe for making Coca-Cola, with them to a competitor. Then you get an injunction to stop that person from doing that because of, obviously, stealing the secret recipe is going to hurt their business. It's something for an urgent injury. Injunctions have never been used in situations like this because they don't meet the legal standard. There's no irreparable harm that this man is going to suffer, and he's not likely to succeed on the merits of his case. What has happened, though, is in our culture, there has been a decline of accountability, a decline of consequences, and an increase in making excuses or making explanations for behavior. So what lawyers have done is use the injunction mechanism in a new context here to do precisely that. And when you get judges like this judge in Lubbock doing what he did, it sets a horrible precedent because it's not what an injunction was meant for, and it also doesn't meet the standard. So it's quite unfortunate, and it's not going to serve anyone well, including Sorsby.
Do you think, before we hit the break, I'm just curious, that there's going to be some type of action? I guess that's what the bill would be in place for. So with that bill that they're trying to pass through Congress, this might be a dumb question, but I guess what I'm trying to figure out is there a counter to these injunctions? I know the NCAA can challenge it or try to overturn something, but do you think Congress or someone or some entity realizes that these injunctions are getting out of hand? Like you mentioned earlier, you said that was terrible decision by the judge. If they're making that decision, they're probably not qualified. Do you feel like there ends up being some type of resolution here that says, hey, these injunctions and these judges are getting out of hand, we're going to step in to stop these from being, you know, a thing of the future?
Great question. Theoretically, yes. Practically, no. So the courts are a separate and equal branch of government. However, Congress does have the power over Article III courts to what's called strip them of jurisdiction, strip them of the ability to hear certain types of cases. Theoretically, therefore, they could do that. But as a practical matter, they never would. They don't have the political will to do so, and they don't have the consensus. So what you're going to see is if there's any reform to this, it's going to come through the appellate process, either at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is where this should be appealed to, or the United States Supreme Court.
What's the likelihood of Sorsby, or not Sorsby, let's just say the NCAA. What's the likelihood of the NCAA being successful on their appeal? Like from your standpoint and from what you've observed here, How do you feel like this thing turns out? Because I'll be honest, I don't remember the dates. I know the trial date is set for like after the season. I think that's for the local stuff that they put together. But in terms of the NCAA's process of appealing, when, like, what's the timeline for something like that? And I guess how likely do you think it is that the NCAA is successful in this appeal?
They can appeal it. It's what's called an interlocutory appeal. An interlocutory appeal is when you are allowed in certain instances to appeal a judgment that's not final. This injunction is a preliminary injunction. It's not a permanent injunction. But in many instances, you can appeal a preliminary injunction. They would appeal to the Fifth Circuit. And I actually have a case currently before the Fifth Circuit, and they are a very conservative court. They're traditionalists when it comes to interpretation of constitutions and statutes. They would strike this judge down, and he would not be successful and this would not be appealed.
And so this was kind of like with the, remember the Betty Ocko thing? So that was, he initially, if I remember correctly, there's been so many cases we've talked about, I'm starting to kind of intertwine them. But I think he received an injunction. He was, you know, he returned to action. He was playing. And then ultimately that was NCAA basically winning their appeal when he was ultimately deemed ineligible again. That's how that worked, right?
He lost on the application for a permanent injunction. So what judges will often do is judges will be more lenient in granting a temporary injunction, because a temporary injunction is just that, temporary. But when it comes to actual elevating it to a permanent injunction, the court is much more strict, and that's why Betty Ocko lost. And, you know, Sorsby's case reminds me a little bit of Aidan Holloway. You know what? We should have just let Aidan Holloway back on the team. In fact, maybe we should have given him a medal and said, you know what? It's smoked weed, not a big deal. The only problem was it was only 2 pounds. It should have been 200 pounds. We would have given you a trophy. I mean, my point being, what precedent does it set for young people when they say, well, I could screw up. I can go to, you know, I can go to Caesars, gamble. I could smoke some weed, you know. I don't know, maybe I can rob a bank. And guess what? They're going to put me in the addiction and rehabilitation center. Mm. There is no, you know, it's not incompatible to say someone deserves support and rehabilitation and compassion, but still should suffer consequences.
No, I agree with you. It does just kind of feel like that. It's like, hey guys, we're already paying you all this money. Now let's just enable you that if you get in trouble, don't worry about it. We'll bail you out and we'll get you an injunction.
I mean, after those two cases, what I want to do after this show, I want to smoke weed. I want to gamble. That's what I want to do, because I won't be held accountable. And if I lose money, I'll sue the casino for an injunction.
That's kind of how it feels like it is. Well, good thing we got. Listen, that's why we hire Adam right here on this show, because that we can just get him to help us get an injunction and we'll get away with whatever we're doing. So there we go. We got a timeout. We come back. We keep rolling right here on this Free For All Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, joined by Mr. Adam Lamprello, Lamprello Law, Lamprello-Law.com.
It was a month. Give Adam services a call at 205-339-6540 or visit us at adamsvcs.com. Your local expert.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more information, that's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
From yesterday's legends to tomorrow's stars. Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTPC.
No one better.
The home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
And welcome It's Free For All Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, joined by Mr. Adam Lamparello, Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. We're talking all legal things with our legal expert, getting all the answers that we've had with all the news coming out. QD just tagged us in this video, and this was my next question for Adam. The news of all these schools, I say all these schools, I don't know if it's a whole bunch. I know Georgia and Nebraska maybe had mentioned sending out a memo to their athletic department saying, hey, pump the brakes on scheduled Texas Tech. You know, we're going to take matters in our own hands. If no one can punish them, we'll do it ourselves. Sounds like maybe some other schools across the Big 12 in their own conference had similar ideas regarding some type of punishment. This is what QD tagged us in, I think, is kind of giving us a little insight here. Then I want Adam, you to give us your thoughts on how, I guess, Texas Tech would be able to go about this.
Generally speaking, I was told that the options that the Big 12 was expected to discuss would be something individual for Sorsby, an additional suspension. He's obviously going to be suspended for the first two games, or some kind of punishment for Texas Tech. History is always a good indicator here, Matt. Remember about a decade ago when Baylor had its spiral under Art Briles, the league fined Baylor $2 million and withheld media revenue. They eventually did give it back to Baylor, but for example, 1 year's media revenue is about $40 million. So there's a menu of potential things the Big 12 is going to discuss, but look, this is complicated. They're going to have to tangle legally with both Jeffrey Kessler, the state attorney general, and obviously Cody Campbell, the Texas Tech mega booster who has endless millions. I've been told by sources that the tenor from the Big 12 is one of strategy and not emotion. The ADs made clear their emotions. It's unclear yet, Matt, if the Big 12 presidents are matching that emotion from the Big 12's athletic directors.
So, Adam, and this brings me to the question in terms of what power does Texas Tech truly have in terms of, I guess, suing institutions for choosing not to play them or maybe not scheduling them. I had this saved from yesterday, and it basically said even, I think, maybe attorney general of the state of Texas was backing this whole thing, if I'm not mistaken. He himself sent out a memo saying that, hey, if any Big 12 schools, in fact, do try to take that path, we will be taking legal action. How does that work? I mean, can they legally sue or bring these schools to court just for saying we don't want to schedule Texas Tech?
It depends. If they're already on the schedule and they are contractually obligated to play, then they will lose. Then okay. Texas Tech will win. If a school says we don't want to schedule you and there's no contractual arrangement previously agreed upon, then sure, they can do that. But for schools that want to say, We're not gonna play you now, they will lose. You know, and you know, it's funny, Texas Tech spending all this money for one player. Let's look at the broader picture here. What's really going on here at Texas Tech is they want to win. If this wasn't Sorsby, but this was some aimless, disrespectful walk-on who thought he could just walk onto the team and harass the starters, they wouldn't care one bit. They would not care one bit. And they would let the consequences flow. This is because it's Sorsby and they want to win, and they're trying to dress it up in this rehabilitation language, which does a tremendous disservice to people truly interested in rehabilitation and addiction recovery. But in this respect, on this issue, Texas Tech has the upper hand.
That makes sense. So I guess to kind of put a bow on this whole thing, Brandon Sorsby will suit up and play for Texas Tech, according to Adam Lamparello, yes or no?
Yes.
There you have it. So it sounds like I guess you just got to deal with that. Brandon Clear made a good point. I think it's a good point. I think it's a fair question to ask. He said, why can't the CFP take it into their hands? Legally, would the College Football Playoff Committee have the ability to say, hey, we might or might not just view Texas Tech a little bit differently this upcoming season, and if they just happen to not be one of the best teams, even though their record might imply that, so be it. Is that legal for the College Football Playoff Committee to do, and is that likely?
That is exactly how institutions and organizations get around legal rulings. What they do is they use what's called pretext. They use legal rules or legal options to deny someone or a school, say, entry into the playoffs under the guise of what are called acceptable standards. We didn't think that they were good enough or whatnot based on their record. But what they're really doing is punishing them indirectly outside the legal process. And that's exactly what they're going to do. And in that situation, Texas Tech would lose because these organizations would dress up the decision in legality while the underlying driving force is illegal, but they'll use pretext. And that's one of the biggest areas of the law that you see at institutions, universities, is they dress up bad decisions or illegal decisions in a pretextual determination that makes it look legal. And that's how you punish. You punish indirectly so that you can circumvent the legal process.
Man, if that ends up happening, that's going to be really interesting, man. And I know there's going to be plenty of discussions to be had when it comes down to when they start making these rankings and whatnot, and to see where Texas Tech falls in line. Because, I mean, even outside of Soresby, they've got a good football team. I'm sure their schedule, I haven't looked at it. We looked at it the other day. I don't remember exactly who's on there, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty favorable. They're probably going to be in contention to being a playoff team, but to see kind of how they're treated is going to be very interesting. Adam, before we let you run, man, any last-minute thoughts on this or anything else going on right now that you want to hit on?
Yeah, I think that our country and our culture is in danger, and this is a reflection of that. Never 20, 30 years ago would you have seen people getting away with things like this. You know, young people used to be taught accountability, you know, accepting consequences, working hard, overcoming adversity, respecting authority. I mean, I don't mean to get on my soapbox here, but it's getting pretty pathetic. The fact that you can gamble on your own team, you can gamble $90,000 and be met with compassion without consequence and, you know, almost praise without any penalty. It's really scary, and it goes beyond just college sports. And I worry for the future of our young people and our country. But I do hope that Soresby does not play UNLV, for example, because if they play at UNLV, he'll be close to Vegas. Then you got to worry about that. I'm just saying, I can't love you.
if he made that decision after they went to bat and did all this, this whole thing would be even more of a circus than it is. Adam, man, please tell everybody how to keep up with you. We talk about it all the time, lamprello-law.com, but any major contact info you want to offer them, that way if they need any this representation, if they find themselves in in a gambling situation, academic misconduct situation, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, come see us at lamprello-law.com. We don't charge a lot, but we give you the highest quality legal representation. And if you just want free legal advice, come check us out on YouTube at Lamprello Law. We've already got 4 videos up, and we'll be posting daily. So Give us a call if you need it. And thanks, as always, for having me on, Christian. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Listen, we love the legal advice. And again, like you said, you got it free on YouTube, Lamprello Law on YouTube. And, of course, the website, lamprello-law.com. Adam, we'll see you next week, man. Thank you so much, brother.
Right, take care. Have a great day.
Yes, sir. You too. Good deal, our guy, Mr. Adam Lamprello. We got Reagan Starner coming up next of R&R Cigars, talking a little bit more baseball, maybe talk some Alabama football right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9-
Joint pain and more. No referral, no problem. Search DCH Spine Care on Google. DCH's Spine Care Center. Get back in the game.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Hardy Construction today at 205-752-9611. 2051. Again, that's Brian Hardin Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Stay locked in, Tide fans.
This is Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC,
the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Free-for-all Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Going back to the phone lines, time we got our guy Reagan Starner of R&R Cigars. Reagan, good Friday to you, brother.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Man, can't complain, man. Can't complain. We've had quite the Friday here on the show, man. I talked a whole bunch about Soresby and now this whole thing. I don't know if you've heard of this, but AI has made its way to football, Reagan. Now schools are hiring directors of AI for their football teams. What do you think about that? You think AI's got a shot at changing the game?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's going to change everything else, so I don't understand why it wouldn't change football. I mean, you know, I've talked to people about how you know, they're going to how they can use it in recruiting. And, you know, I've seen stuff about, you know, film breakdowns with AI. I think it's a good supplement. I wouldn't trust it, you know, blindly trust it. Because even, you know, the best AIs out there, it's like, hey, can I eat this plant? And it's like, oh, no, that's fine. And then they turn around and I'm in the hospital. Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's poisonous. On second thought, that's a poisonous plant. So, you know, I mean, like, yeah, it's cool. You know, I use it to look up recipes and stuff like that. But, you know, I wouldn't trust AI over a Nick Saban recruiting evaluation for sure. But, you know, I think it definitely
can
be a good tool.
I agree. I was going to say, I agree. I mean, I use it all the time. Like, I mean, like, I study Spanish. I mean, I use literally it's helped me learn a whole nother language probably far better than really probably any of the other resources that I had been using initially. Granted, those helped along the way. But in terms of football, I was saying earlier, Reagan, I think for analytics, man, I mean, I think it makes sense. We all know analytics have really become a big thing in football over the last decade or so. And now I think this is probably just an extension of that. But when they mention evals, that's what kind of throws me off. Like,
yeah,
why would you not just trust your own eyes and seeing these young men and getting people that understand, you know, yeah, the game of football, what to look for and put a little bit more into that. But yeah, that, I don't know. I thought that was a little weird in terms of the Soresby thing, Reagan. Hadn't got a chance to ask your opinion on this. Yeah. Now, you know, we normally have you on here for smoking hot picks. So we know that, you know, you gamble a little bit, right? You take some picks here and there. But what do you make of this whole situation? Now, the young man bet over $90,000, bet on his own team. Like, this is a little bit different than him just downloading, you know, prize picks and, you know, playing around a couple times. What do you think of him now with this injunction being eligible to play again?
I think it's an embarrassment. Mm. I think that it's, I think it's absolutely absurd to, like, you know, if he's truly an addict, I hope he gets help. Right. I'm not qualified to say if he's an addict or not. But it's crazy. Most addicts get away from the thing that, you know, spikes their addiction and not jumping back into it fully. I think it undermines the credibility of the game. I think it's a really disgusting precedent to set. I mean, look at what happened at Alabama when all this stuff came out with, you want to talk about college baseball today. Imagine if Alabama had kept Brad Bohannon after all of his stuff came out.
Yeah. Well, people made a big deal
and
about
that. And the thing was, he wasn't even the one gambling.
He was calling folks, right? He was offering information.
It's a little bit more complicated than that, but he basically gave out, you know, from what I understand, and I don't have the full picture, but from what I understand is he basically, a guy wanted some inside info and he gave it to him and they fired him. Right. And he was the subject of, a federal probe, you know, not just an NCAA probe. And Greg Byrne said, no, we're not going to deal with this. You know, I think that comes down to your AD. Does your AD have stones? I think clearly Texas Tech guys doesn't. And, you know, I mean, but I think it goes to the larger problem I think the big problem that people aren't talking about is how these judges have all of this power to completely invalidate everything that the NCAA does. And most of these judges are just they're boosters or they're people that hate the program. Or that, you know, like they have issues with these programs and they rule against them. Or, you know, like this guy in Texas Tech, I think somebody was saying he was a big Texas Tech guy. So, you know, and clearly you've seen this in Tennessee with the Tennessee judges granting all of this extra eligibility and so it makes NIL even more crazy. It makes this era even more crazy because these schools come to these agreements about these are the things that we're not going to do. And then a judge just comes out of here out of nowhere and says, oh, yeah, sorry, that agreement that you guys all made, you can't actually do that. So, we're living in such a, it's just such a hard, the schools can't even, so even if we come up with an agreement to do something, it doesn't matter because some booster that's a judge in East Tennessee says, no, sorry, this is invalid. The Tennessee Volunteers can do whatever they want to do.
It's definitely a mess. Yeah. And that's, we just were talking with Adam Lamparello. He's our official lawyer here on the show, man. And he was kind of breaking down kind of what could come from all this and maybe how it could eventually kind of come to a halt if that ends up happening. We'll have to see, Reagan. But we got to talk a little bit baseball, man, while I got you on here, because I know you're heavy in the program. You're a big influence over there. You're close to a lot of those guys, and they're doing some big stuff this weekend, man. They're heading to Omaha for the first time since 1999. Rob Vaughn has done a tremendous job, and they had this big Supers win over St. John's in both games. They did their thing, had the weather delay. But tell me, man, before we talk about Omaha, what have you seen out of this baseball team? And you've seen it up close and personal, man, just kind of the job that they've done this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is Rob's got to be sitting there saying this is one of the best coaching jobs he's ever done. If you look at this team, they lost. They got swept by Kentucky. Then they went down to South Alabama and they lost on a Tuesday night. And, you know, you're looking at that at the week. That's the first, you know, first weekend of the season. And you get swept and then you get beat by South Alabama. And you're got to be, you're sitting there saying, you know, a lot of teams that would have been a, you know, okay, well, we're just really not very good. And somehow they come back and they go, you know, 18 and 9 over the next, over the rest of the season in SEC play. I mean, they got a double bye in Hoover, which is kind of unheard of for Alabama. You know, they've got some really, really good dudes. The starting pitching's been phenomenal. And that's, you know, when you have pitching like that, it's easier to stay in ball games than, you know, we haven't had that in years past. And, you know, this year we've got it and, you know, and it shows.
I agree. And I want to ask you in terms of the pitch, you said the pitching, man, how about Faye last? Did he end up throwing that no hitter? Did he finish it out last
Tyler week? No, he didn't finish. No, there was no hitter in Supers, but I think Tyler went 7 and gave up none. And I think Zane went 7 and gave up 2. So they were dominant on the mound. I mean, it was just great pitching performances from those two. And when you have a Friday night and a Saturday night guy like those two guys, it makes it a lot easier. You know, you're not worrying about, gosh, is our, you know, I think Tyler's closing in on the, I think he's 7 or 8 strikeouts away from the single season strikeout record for Alabama. Mm-hmm. You know, that, which is just amazing. And if you look at the stats on the lineups, you know, none of these guys are really, you know, lighting up the box scores, but you know, it's like Jason Torres is, you know, goes through this, you know, just slump, and then, you know, regionals show up and he gets timely hits, and then super show up, he hits a grand slam, and Brady Neal's played so good this year, and they've just like they're not out there hitting tanks every time they step up to the plate, you know, but the hitting is just timely. I don't really know. It's just when they need a hit, they get a hit. You know, and it's been fun to watch because it's just such an, I hate to say it, it's kind of a how did we get here, you know? Because if you just look through the stats, you know, you'd be like, man, you know, it hasn't been just one guy. Like a lot of these teams, they have one or two guys where it's just like, yeah, that guy was a monster. You know, and like their 2, 3, and 4 hitters were like clearly carried this team. But you know, like everybody's contributed at some point. You know, Brendan Holt had some huge hits to give us a lead. Justin LeBron's, you know, done some things throughout the year like he's supposed to do. You know, everybody on that lineup's, everybody in that lineup's contributed. Luke Vaughn's hit some absolutely crazy nukes. So, you know, everybody's, you know, contributed. And they just somehow they find a way to win. And, you know, and when you have starting pitching like that, it's easier to find a way to win because you don't need to score as many runs. You know,
that's true. To give me a preview, Reagan, when you look at this this matchup tomorrow, you got Oklahoma, man. Well, what do you think about Alabama's chances in Omaha? Like you said, and I wouldn't necessarily say you didn't expect him to be there, but they're definitely probably more of a dark horse candidate. You think they got what it takes to get the job done out there? And how do you preview this matchup with Oklahoma?
I think obviously we already beat Oklahoma, so I'd say we match up pretty well with them. The crazy thing about Omaha is it's one game. So, you know, like we're used to with baseball, but, you know, in all these other sports, it's best of. And what I love about baseball is it's, you know, like when you have a one game, anything can happen in a one game series. So, you know, you take each game at a time. I'm not going to lie. Like, looking at the bracket, I mean, if we'd been on the other side of the bracket, it would have been, I wish we'd been on the other side of the bracket. But even on our side of the bracket, it's set up really well for us because we'll pitch Tyler on Friday, and then that'll give us our whole bullpen available to use Friday night. Ideally you win and you play Monday, and then you're using Zane or Miles, and you have your whole bullpen coming off of another full day of rest. Then you play Wednesday and you use whoever you didn't use with Zane or Miles, and you still have your bullpen fully rested. And then you only have to play Texas or Georgia. Ideally you only have to beat each of them one time, because you beat one and then hopefully the other one beats them in the loser's bracket, because it's hard to beat somebody two times in a row. But you know, there's a lot less pressure there, because you're not playing a three game series, you're playing an elimination game every time. So it's a lot different. But I really, you know, and if we get through our side of the bracket, I don't see why this team can't win at all. They've got all the pieces that they need to win. They have as good a pitching as anybody in Omaha, and that goes to Jason Jackson and JJ. And I get tired of fans talking bad about JJ. I love JJ. I think he's awesome, but they absolutely have.
Okay, go ahead. I was going to say, I mean, his pitchers are doing a great job. So
yeah, he's the only coach in college to have $6 million arms in the past, I think, 6 years. So he's clearly doing something right. But I wouldn't be surprised if this team went to Omaha and just won it. That's the stars have kind of aligned for Alabama baseball lately. So, you know, if like you might as well take advantage of it when the window's there. Because it's going to be a long, I don't know, but it's, you know, for Alabama, when you look at the three starting pitchers that they have, I can't remember, somebody, an old head could probably tell me better, you know, about when the last time Alabama had three starting pitchers as good as Tyler Faze and Adams and Upchurch. But I don't know. So, I hope they will. Take advantage of that.
Absolutely. We'll definitely be watching and keeping up with it. Speaking of watching it, Reagan, any big specials or things you guys have going on this weekend to watch that? The World Cup's going on. I know you guys, one of the hottest places when it comes to kicking back, relaxing. You got the wraparound porch. You got the hottest humidor in the Southeast. Those 160 bourbons now. What do you got planned for this weekend for folks that want to maybe go catch the game there?
We're going to be there. We're going to be here. We got all the Casa de los Estrellas back in stock. We've been out of those for, I think, about a month. But we got all of those back in stock. So if you're looking for a victory cigar for Alabama baseball, that'd be the one. And yeah, we'll do, I think we've got like $3 domestics and $7 cocktails. So should be a fun time. We're going to have, yeah. But it's a great sports weekend, right? You've got World Cup, College World Series, Stanley Cup finals, and you've got the NBA finals. So no shortage of sports to watch all weekend. Should be a great weekend, and I'll be out in Omaha, so I'll be cheering on the Tide in person and getting ready to hopefully go to a College World Series finals.
Heck yeah. Well, we'll definitely have to get you back on next week to give us a recap on your experience out there in Omaha with the guys out there. And definitely be wishing them best of luck. Like you heard Reagan here, R&R Cigars, 2703, Gary Fitzgerald in Tuscaloosa. They'll be open all weekend for all sports. Of course, the World Series, but also World Cup, NBA Finals, all that good stuff. Make sure you guys check them out. Plenty of drinks, plenty of sticks, great deals. Drink responsibly, of course, and enjoy yourself. The official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. Reagan, appreciate you so much, brother.
All right, man. We'll see you soon.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. That is Reagan Starner of R&R Cigars. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we wrap things up.
Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, Tuscaloosa's destination for iconic Jeeps. Owner loyalty earns $1,500 cash back on a new 2026 Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9111.
Get your life back, baby.
Stephen Mezrano, Alabama Injury Lawyers. Mez wins.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next.
Pass this critical legislation now. Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP. This message is furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Hardy Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Hardy Construction at 205-752-9611.
From Tuscaloosa to the world,
download the free Tide 100.9 app
for all the latest on Crimson Tide sports.
And welcome back in briefly as we close things out on this free-for-all Friday edition right here on the Miller's Edge. Big thanks to everybody making it possible, all of our guests, of course, Chase behind the glass, all of our listeners via Tide 100.9 on the app worldwide or, of course, on any of our streams. We always appreciate you guys. We enjoy it. Hope you guys do as well. Hope you guys have a great weekend watching a whole bunch of sports. We'll be back Monday talking about it right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.